All right, we're going to go ahead and get started, guys. I know it's right on time, so why don't you gather around, find a seat. We got a lot to cover this morning. I am super glad to be here. For those of you who didn't catch it, my name is Colton. I am a full-time staff member here. I work in food service, so I feed you guys. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, thank you. You know, really, I appreciate it. I slave away in a kitchen all day so that you can be so full and fill up our poop tanks. It's amazing. So I've been up here for about a year and a half. Me and my wife have been married almost 7 years, and 2 months to be 7 years, which is, I'm pretty excited about that. Thank you. Yeah, you guys are like one of those clappy bunches. I like that. It's always weird when I like say something and people are like. You guys, that's awesome. Okay, so yeah, we're going to be talking about some serious stuff this morning. I'm going to be really open, really raw, really honest, okay? I'm going to be shooting straight, not pulling my punches, because you need to hear this. Second thing, I'm primarily talking to Christians this morning. I'm talking about something about that only a Christian can do. If you are not saved, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot kill sin. Sin reigns over you, it has dominion over you. Though you might have the appearance of having things under control, it reigns in your heart and you are its slave. If you are a Christian, you have been given a new heart. Your heart has been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You now are not under the control of sin and you can come out from its control. I'm gonna be talking about some serious things, and if I seem like a little nervous, a little awkward, it's because, well, for one, I am super awkward, but two, I am a little nervous because I'm going to be opening up this heart and showing you a bit of the darkness that the Lord has routed out. And there's some scars, there's some ugly things that I have experienced that I hope that you will be able to learn from, that you will be able to leave this place being able to fight sin and be able to have practical ways to overcome temptation. Anyways, let's pray real quick and then we'll get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Father, that we are here today. You hold this universe together by your decision. You are powerful. You are amazing, Lord, and we every day struggle to comprehend how amazing you are. We're foolish, we're selfish, we're arrogant and prideful. Help us, Lord, to know how to love you better, to have that mercy that you extend to us every day and use it for your glory, that we would not live selfishly, that we would not be self-seeking with our minds set on ourselves, but we would have our minds set on you. Help us, God, because we're weak and that every day we struggle just to even to think about somebody else, let alone love the God of the universe. Help us, Lord, because we need you. Give us the strength to do what is impossible, which is to overcome the sin that has reigned over this world. Help us, God, to be men of integrity, to be men with pure hearts and pure minds and pure eyes. May we do your will. May we love holiness. Holy Spirit, teach us today. Speak through me. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed to have two parents, mom and dad. And when I was born, I was just like one of those like sparkling kids, right? Like when I came out of the womb, they spanked me. Instead of me crying, I was just like, Jesus, hallelujah. Like I came out a Christian and it's cool. It's been sweet ever since. No, I'm just kidding. It's definitely been a struggle. My dad growing up, I would say he wasn't really a Christian until I was about 16. And so that definitely had some fallout in my life. My mom was a strong believer, and she definitely encouraged us to go to church. We took Bible classes and all these things. So ever since I was a young kid, I have been saturated in this church life and in Christianity. Something that happened a lot during my life was we moved a ton. My dad, because he wasn't a Christian, was thinking, you know, I need to provide for my family, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure they're happy and comfortable. So whenever he'd get a job opportunity, he would just take it and just like get this promotion, or be like, okay, I got this promotion, but we're going to be moving across the country, North Carolina. And then, so by the time I was like 18, I think we had moved 15 different times and like several times back and forth across the country. So like California, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Kansas, and then like a bunch of different Tennessee, a bunch of different places within those states. And so because of that, I was homeschooled. And so, you know, us homeschoolers were like super awkward, have a hard time making friends. And yeah, and we like sit in the corner. Yeah, woo! And before I worked here, I was a musician. I traveled a lot, so we would travel all across the country. I was on a couple of labels, and I got to do it as a ministry, and it was a really blessed time in my life. And I'm just going to be super honest right now. I talked to a ton of guys throughout my touring and stuff like that, and I would have to say about 75 to 90% of the guys that I would talk to would tell me, I'm struggling with pornography. And I'm just here today to tell you that most likely that same number, that statistic, is in this room right now. That most likely 75% to 90% of you are in some way interacting with, addicted to, sexual sin in some way. And that really resonated with me because of my personal story. Because we moved so much, I was right at that time that I was getting my hormones, getting a sex drive, and my dad lost his job, not because of some random incident, because of something stupid he did. And that really affected me, because he lost his job, and there was threats of him going to prison for a long time. And that hurt me, because it was my dad, and I loved him, I looked up to him, and he, you know, in a sense, he failed me. And of course, you know, we have grace, and I've forgiven him since then, and we have a good relationship, but it's like, at that time, it was right when I was liking girls, and there was this girl I was interested in, and you know, whatever, but it just came to me, it hurt me. And so I didn't know it at the time. Like, I feel like my parents, they did a really good job raising us, but at the same time, they didn't warn me about the dangers of pornography and of falling into sexual sin. And so right about that time, I was about 13, 14, I just decided one day, you know what, I'm going to look up girls in bikinis online. Like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And little did I know that that would begin a ongoing 12, 13-year war and battle for my very life. And I'm here today to tell you, I hope, I'm not here to emotionally manipulate you. I'm not here to get you to sign a card that says I'm no longer addicted to porn. I am here to tell you that you are trapped, that you are in a war and you don't even know it, that you have this culture all around you telling you to pursue sex. You have a phone in your pocket right now that all you have to do is type 3 letters in, you can look at pornography. It's on your game systems, it's on your computers, it's on your smart TVs, it's everywhere around you. Everyone's encouraging you. You are in a war. And so, what I'm hoping that you will be able to do is be able to fight in that war. Because throughout my journey, the Lord has taught me so much. He's given me tools for the battle. Because I began this addiction to pornography, and I didn't know it at the time, and I kept it a secret for 2 years. I struggled with this thing. I continually wanted to be free of it, because I didn't understand at the time it was an addiction. I didn't know that you could be addicted to it, so I couldn't understand why I kept going back to it, because I hated it. I was like, why am I doing this thing that I hate? Why do I keep looking at this? Why do I keep pursuing it? I hate it. Don't do it. Here I go, doing it again. Why? So I'm going to give you a couple reasons why, that our minds are incredibly, especially when we are at a younger age, like right where the age you guys are at and a little bit younger, you guys have such malleable minds when it comes to sexual interactions. I've done a lot of study on this, and there is the study that I read. It said that basically whatever your first sexual interactions are will determine for the rest of your life what your mind will naturally go to pursue sexual satisfaction. So for most of us, that is pornography. So whenever you have a sexual impulse, your mind naturally will always go back to trying to seek out pornography as sexual satisfaction. Even on into marriage, you have taught your mind that my outlet for sexual satisfaction will be found in pornography. And so that struggle that I had to go through when I first got married, I would have to try to control this mind, that the urges I would have, and put it back onto my wife. I want to read I want to read a passage from Romans. Two passages, actually. It's Romans 8. My favorite book in the Bible is Romans. My favorite chapter in the book of Romans is chapter 8. It's just a hope-filled chapter that gives me so much hope as a person who struggles with sin, which is all of us. I think it has so much hope and a hope to overcome the thing that seems that seems bigger than what I could ever imagine. So I'm going to be reading two sets of verses. Romans 8, 5 through 6, and Romans 8, 12 through 13. It goes like this. Romans 8, 5 through 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And Romans 8, 12 through 13 says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what is this thing? What is this thing called sin? The best way to think about sin, especially an addiction, is that we are worshipers. What comes out of us is worship. What you desire is worship. So whether that be accomplishment, whether that be power, lust, greed, all of these things, they can be categorized into lust, things that we seek after, that we want, we would give anything for. The best way to think about those things is to think of them as a living creature. That inside of you is this beast, this monster called sin that needs to be fed. And it cannot live unless it is fed. And so this is a paradigm changer for me when I started understanding that in order for this sin to have life, I have to feed it. And so if I cut off its source of nutrients, that source of me pursuing pornography, me looking after women as in a sinful way, if I can cut that off, I then begin to dwindle its strength so that it does not have so much power over me so that I might be able to have power over it. And I think this is what Paul means when he's talking about by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. He's saying, get your mind wrapped around this. Get your mind wrapped around, set on purity, hope, love, justice, righteousness, knowing the Lord. And this is the basics of Christianity, is that Christianity doesn't stop when you say, I believe in Jesus. That's the beginning. You keep going on. You grow into maturity. And this is where most of us lack maturity, spiritual maturity. Most of us don't think about God throughout our days. Most of us don't even wonder about him at all. And I think this is a major crippling thing for us in the church as men, is that we need to press into the Lord. Not for just our sakes, but for the sake of the world. You guys are world changers because you have the Spirit of God within you, the God who created the world. And so thinking of sin in this way is that it is a monster that desires to be fed, and it calls to you. That urge that you have, it is calling to you. Feed me. Give me what I want. And that's where you have to say, no, I will not give you what I want. I want Jesus. Jesus is infinitely better than anything you could ever hope for, desire, or have. And so, just breaking down the science of it, I think the best way to defeat your enemy is to understand him. And so a lot of times our enemy starts with us because we're broken and sinful. Our minds are broken. So understanding our minds will help you to understand how to fight this sin. Every time you look at pornography or masturbate, your mind has little pathways in it. I grew up a little bit in Kansas, and there was lots of cows, right? And we had this property, and our nearest neighbor was like a mile that way, and all around us was this like open countryside, and the farmers would let their cows roam. And so the grass gets super tall, right? And at least it did then. I was probably that tall, so the grass was like that tall. And there's these things that they call cow tracks, where it's like you would just be walking, wading through the grass, and all of a sudden you just see this path, and it's just this path that the cows would always take. And so we would always walk down the cow paths because it was easier to get to wherever we wanted to, you know, to the pond or whatever. And so if you imagine your mind is the same way, your mind is basically like a field. And so every time you look at pornography and masturbate, you walk down that path again. And every time it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And soon, like I said before, your mind just always wants to go there because it wants to take the path of least resistance. And so trying to understand that if you, when you go off of that path, it's hard. And I want you to understand that this fight is hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to go against your flesh. You will be wading through the tall grass. You will be stepping on things you don't want to step on. It's going to hurt. It's going to be awkward, but it's worth it. So God has designed us in a certain way. He has designed you that you would find true sexual satisfaction in the confines of biblical marriage. When you have sex with your wife, your body releases important hormones that tell your mind that you've been satisfied. But when you look at pornography and masturbate, your mind actually does not release those hormones that tell you that you've been satisfied. That's why when I started looking at girls in bikinis, it wasn't enough. So then I had to look at girls who were wearing less than bikinis and then girls who were doing different things and so on and so forth. And the deeper and deeper and deeper evil sexual acts. Why is that? It's because you are not satisfied. You were not made to do that. And I don't want this to... This is a very serious thing, and I'm not throwing this out flippantly. I don't want it to say it just to scare you, but the reality is this is how we get rapists. This is how we get child molesters, is that I've known a man who struggled with being attracted to children, and he said, yeah, I started off with softcore pornography, and I just kept going and kept going and kept going. I needed more, I wanted more, and eventually it came to this place. And for me, I can't comprehend that. It's just vile, and I can't comprehend how you could ever go there. But it's how our minds work. We are broken, our minds are twisted because of sin. And I'm saying this so that you will understand that your sin is not innocent. Pornography is not an innocent sin. You are not, it doesn't stop with you. It affects everyone around you. It affects how you think. It affects how your eyes move. It affects how your body moves. It affects how you talk. You are altered because you are consuming death. I have an uncle who is an open porn addict. And I have seen the progression of destruction that has led him down. Is that he wanted pornography more than anything else in his life. And eventually, it led to adultery, and it led to him leaving his family, and everything he had, everything that the Lord had ever blessed him with, he turned his back on to say, I don't want you, I want this. And eventually, it's even still to this day, he is progressing farther and farther down into death. And it's heartbreaking for me because he has a family that loves him and it wants him to say, to see that he is dying, that he's living a life that is hurting everyone around him. But he's blinded. Sin blinds you. It takes you and takes your eyes and puts scales over them so that you can't see. And so I'm kind of just telling you this to say that you are in a war whether you want to be or not. You are in this fight for your life, that there's so much against you. This world is against you. The enemy is against you. Your very own mind is against you. So what do we do? How do we fight a battle where we have insurmountable opposing forces? That you are powerless to overcome sin. In your strength, you can do nothing except wallow in your death. And I'm telling you here today that there is hope. There is a way to overcome this sin that seems to have a great grip on you. Another study that I read showed, and just to further my point, is that pornography is equal to or more addicting than crack cocaine. That's insane. Like, it's more addicting than this hardcore drug that you can find on the streets. Like, it is serious. It's got a hold on you. And I want you to see and to get it off. Get out of it. Get out of its grasp. So I'm going to give you guys some things that have helped me. I'm going to give you three practical things for overcoming sin and temptation, and then just a conceptual thing that will help you think clearly. I've read a bunch of books. I've listened to a bunch of sermons about this, and I've learned so much. And if you're a reader and you like to read, I like to read from the Puritans. There's a guy named John Owen. They write so like complex, and I'm like, why can't you just say it simply? But a pastor I listened to, his name is John Piper, and he says, if you only just rake, you're going to get leaves. But if you dig deep, you'll find diamonds. And so I took that to heart, and I tried to find. I just like, okay, I don't understand everything he's saying, but I'm going to try to understand the core of what he's getting at. And so this is what I got from it. It starts with Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, be renewed by the transformation of your mind. Right thinking produces right living. That's a John Piper quote. Is that if you can think right, if your mind can be set in the proper way, can be aligned with the scriptures, then from the outflow of your mind, it affects your heart, which goes back to your mind, and it affects your whole life, right? And so I'm going to give you three things, and they're pretty radical, okay? They're things that people are like, sometimes they kind of freak out when I share them because they're like, but that's really inconvenient. And I'm like, well, being a Christian is inconvenient, and you're not actually made for this life. You're made for the next. So the first thing I have is make no provisions for the flesh. And what I mean by that is you may not realize it, but that monster inside of you, it will latch on to any little thing. It can get to feed itself. And you might not even be realizing you're feeding it, but all of a sudden, you're just going about one day, and you haven't, let's say you're addicted to pornography, and you haven't looked at pornography for like 2 months. Then all of a sudden, you're just going, and you're like, you get that urge, and you get that temptation that comes over your mind. It just feels like it came out of nowhere. And you're like, what is that? Where did that come from? You can be feeding that sin, that lust, and not even know it. So, for instance, let's say you watch a movie, right, and it has a sexual scene in it, and for you, maybe it didn't do anything for you. But later that night, you go home and look at pornography. You see what I mean? Or how about books, or music, or video games? Just real quick on video games. Like, video games are getting pretty raunchy, like The Witcher 3, Mass Effect 3. These games straight up have softcore pornography in them, and like, just cut them out. That is not worth it. And I mean, I'm a gamer. I like to play games. It's super fun. I think they're really cool, but it's not worth it if you are falling into sin. And that's what I'm talking about, making no provisions for the flesh. If you have a girlfriend that wears like raunchy clothes, like tell her that it's affecting you, and if she says, you can't tell me how to dress, and you say, well, I'm going to get a new girlfriend because she is not worth it. You need a girl that loves the Lord and respects you and that understands that you are a man and you have struggles that a man has. And so what I'm trying to say is that if you pay attention, like wake up and don't just think, dude, Mountain Dew, you know, like wake up and pay attention. Like, think about what you do in your life, what you do in your everyday actions. And if you can't be like, this sounds crazy, but if you can't be alone, like when you take a shower with the door open. Say, Mom, I know it's weird. I'm showering with the door open. And if she's a Christian, she should understand. If not, I'll pray for you. But it's just doing whatever it takes and realizing that there are certain things that can be feeding your lust and you don't even know it. There's just so many things, and I could go into a bunch of examples, but I think you understand. The second thing is bring it into the light. I kept it a secret for 2 years. I thought I could get out of it. I was embarrassed and ashamed. I felt like a failure because I had grown up Christian, and like my parents never really told me about pornography, yet I knew it wasn't right. I felt that conviction, and so it was like I kept it a secret. And it was this one day in church, I don't remember what the sermon was, but it just cut me, and I just broke down. I was just sobbing in the pew, just like uncontrollably. My parents had no clue. Like, what is wrong with you, dude? And I told them. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but one of the most freeing things. Because my parents love me, and they're like, if you would have told us, like, we could have helped you. We just didn't know, you know, and they felt bad, and you know, I felt bad because I knew I let them down. But it was at that moment that I started seeing real success in my life, real victory over the sin, because the Bible talks about this as confessing our sins to one another. I think it doesn't just say that so that we would feel embarrassed. It says it so that we could take what is in this darkness, what I'm hiding here, bringing it out and saying, I am evil. I need Jesus. Help me. And I think the Lord sees that too. He sees that. He says he lifts up those who humble themselves. And it's a humbling experience to say, I'm addicted. I'm a fool. Help me. But the Lord sees that, and he takes you, and he lifts you up, and he gives you victory over that sin. There's a point in my life when I was, like, trying to get in any accountability group I could. I would tell my pastor, my youth pastor, and, like, all my guy friends, like, I'm struggling, please pray for me. I'm struggling, please pray for me. And it was this opening up of my eyes to see, yeah, they're struggling too, and they're struggling too. Or, yeah, these people actually care about me. I thought they would be like, oh, shame on you, get out of my church, you know, filthy heathen, but it was no, that these people actually care about you and they want you to love the Lord. And so they prayed with me and they were walking alongside me saying, how are you doing? Keep going. Oh, you stumbled? Get back up. Keep going. Those things in your life will cause you to love the Lord more. And ultimately, that's what I'm getting at, is that all these things will cause you to love the Lord more, because you're not saying, I love my sin. I love my sin. You always just have free reign over it. It's that you are turning. You're saying, I love Jesus. I want Jesus. He's my hope because he is my righteousness. I'm a failure. He is not. And the last thing I have is definitely the most radical. And I kind of already touched on it, and it's cut off the source. The Bible says in Matthew, it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven without your right hand than to enter into eternity and be cast into the eternal flame. And I take that and paraphrase that as, it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven never having an iPhone than to be thrown into the eternal hell. And so that's how I live today. People freak out like, you don't have a smartphone? And I'm like, no, I don't have a smartphone. They're like, why? And it's like, sometimes it's real awkward because it's like, you know, anti-technology. but other times I'm able to share, you know, if it's an appropriate situation where it's like, I get to share that because it's worth it to me to give up this thing so that I can love Jesus. Because it's a huge hindrance for me. I tried for a long time, like having passcodes and filters and blah, 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 but there was always loopholes and there's always little things that I could do that would just pop up randomly, and it wasn't worth it to me. So I cut it off. I said, you know what? I don't want it. Now I have a brick phone. And people are like, what's a brick phone? It's like literally you could build a house out of it if you had so many of them, because like I like drop it all the time. Like I think I dropped it off of a roof one time and it blew up, and like I went down and put it back together and it worked fine. Like it's amazing. But the only thing it does is text and makes calls. And it's really lame. It sucks. But it's worth it. Because now I don't have that temptation constantly with me right here. It's not there. And maybe someday I can come back to it. Maybe someday I would build enough strength that I'm walking close enough with the Lord that temptation doesn't have enough reign over me that I would be able to have that. But right now in my current state, I can't have it. So I won't. Why? Because I love Jesus. And it's just this different way of thinking. And everybody looks at you like, you're a moron. Like, you know, just be strong enough. Like, why can't you just not do that? And, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, it literally has control over your mind. And though you might not want it, you can be pursuing it simultaneously while saying, I don't want this. And so taking that into other things, like, I'm just going to say straight up, it's really, really, really dumb that most of you have computers in your room. Like, that is stupid. Because you have it right there. Get it out of your room. Just say, Dad, Mom, I need you to keep my computer in your room at night. And honestly, like, though that might seem like a really humiliating thing, your parents will think more of you, that you would rather seek the Lord. They will respect you more highly for seeking the Lord and trying to do whatever it takes than being like, I'm strong enough, I'm a man, I can do it. And then, you know, lo and behold, you can't. And so cutting it off, cutting off the source, it's worth it, it's radical, it's embarrassing, but it's worth it, because when you don't have that constant temptation there, you're able to have victory and being able to set your mind, like we said earlier, on the Spirit. Because the thing about pornography is like when you're indulging in pornography, your mind is set on the flesh and you have to like tear it away and you have to struggle and pray for mercy that God would help you in that moment just to tear your mind away from the flesh, and it is strong and it holds you for a long time. And so being able to just cut these things off, these common temptations, so that when you are in a situation where you might be compromised in a hotel room by yourself or whatever, you will be able to overcome that temptation because you're seeking God, because your mind's set on the Spirit, saying, God, keep me from temptation this day. I'm not strong enough. Have mercy. And then lastly, you cannot do this without Jesus. That if you, if like I said at the beginning, if you don't love Jesus, you can't do it. Like, you might be able to be like, I haven't looked at pornography in 2 years. That doesn't matter. Your heart's dead. That the biggest struggle, and the biggest struggle of the addict is shame. You have this weight on you, this guilt, this burden of, I have sinned against the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And I'm here to tell you that there's hope, because our God's amazing. And so imagine this little story with me real quick. Imagine you're in a helicopter, and then you're in that helicopter, you're holding this burning coal that's burning your hands, but you're holding onto it because it's your sin. And you're flying out over the ocean, and all around you, all you could see is ocean. It's ocean. And that ocean is the grace of God. And you take that coal, that burning coal that's your sin, and you ask for forgiveness. You drop it into the ocean. What happens? The ocean evaporates and all the fish die. Just kidding. No, the coal burns out, and that's your sin. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, clappy people. But no, seriously, in Christ, that is how it works. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned. Your flesh might condemn you, the world might condemn you, the enemy might condemn you, but God doesn't, and that's what matters. So turn your hope to him. Realize that he gives you grace, and it's not license to be like, I can do whatever I want now. It's the ability to get back up and to keep fighting sin, and to keep living your day, life every day for holiness, growing in maturity, seeking out, setting your mind on the Spirit, being able to, you have so many resources to be able to do this, like sermons, books, and there's this YouTube videos, like a bunch of amazing things. So I have a couple minutes, and just a few common questions and answers. You girls might want to wait outside and talk about some really awkward stuff. Okay. Gosh. Okay. Okay. Question number one. Is masturbation sin? Yes. And here's why. Because when you masturbate, like if you don't look at pornography, guys ask me all this time, well, what if I'm not looking at pornography? And the problem is when you are masturbating, you are not thinking about rocks and tractors. You are thinking about women that you have seen before. You're thinking about your girlfriend. You're thinking about porn that you've seen in your past. That is sin. Jesus says, if you lust in your heart after a woman, you have committed adultery with her. And so that goes into kind of goes into a next question, like, so what do I do? And so just to preface this, this isn't like the only answer, but I'm saying it is a good answer. Get married. And... And I'm not saying that that is. I'm not saying that that is the only answer. That no, you can live a life single and being able to overcome sin and temptation in that way. But I'm saying marriage does help a lot, because that is how God designed you. You are naturally made to want a wife. And I'm saying, be considering it. Don't just be like, hey, marry me, woman. You know, I gotta be holy. But I'm just saying, I want you to understand, you need to be mature. You need to be able to lead a wife. You need to be able to provide for her. But I'm saying that is God's given answer for that question, is that if you struggle with sexual temptation, your passions reign in your body, that you should pursue marriage. And then the last question is, I guess, two last questions, I have 1 minute left. Does marriage help with the sin? Yes. Does it get rid of it? No. It doesn't get rid of it, because your mind's still set on, like we talked about before, it's still set on pornography. That takes the grace of God and you pursuing him so that he will change your mind and change your heart. So yes, it helps a lot, because now you have an outlet that the Lord has provided. It doesn't get rid of the sin. And then and the last thing is, can I struggle with pornography and be saved? Yes. You are a sinner, saved by grace. Death has When you were born under the headship of Adam. Sin reigns in your mortal body. When you became a Christian, you said, Christ is now my head. He is your righteousness. He is transforming you. You are being sanctified, and you're being set apart. It is an ongoing process. Yes, you will struggle with sin. No, you will not live a life that it says, I'm a Christian, and I want all the sin I can possibly get. That does not mix. That does not work. You are not a Christian if that's what's happening. And lastly, talk to your counselors. They're here because they love you and they want you to love Jesus. They're not here to play fun rec games, right? So go and talk to them. You're gonna go into a time of worship. Bring it out into the light. It's time. Be humble, it's okay. We all struggle. We're all men, we all struggle. Thanks, guys.